I think value is critical. You know, you have to get the value of the players right.
Chan outside, they go. Good catch by Jones. Better move, the dive, and a Detroit touchdown. Marvin Jones.
And the key word there was value. That isn't always the most expensive player.
And he can throw. He's left-handed, looking. But the defense does its job, and he gets taken down at the 31-yard line by Malcolm Brown.
You're just like building a stock portfolio.
First down, and an interception. Shaquille Griffin.
If you get a bunch of overpriced stocks, you buy high and sell low, eventually that catches up with you.
I see the vision that Coach Meyer is trying to build here.
And now throwing deep. Rayshon Jenkins on his way back.
You know, Coach Meyer wins. Everything's there. The track record is there. Why not Jacksonville?
I can only imagine, you know, coming from where we was last year to one of the most winningest teams going into next season, I want to be a part of that. We talk about this time next year going into the season, and we had that same discussion. Like, man, you said we was going to do it. I want to have those type of talks. I want to be part of that history. So that's the part that I'm believing in, that I'm excited for. So, yeah, it was no sell pitch. I seen it coming myself. I seen everything kind of unfolding. I just wanted to be a part of it.
XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
What? Me? I'm back. Hello. Good morning, everybody. It's Jaguars Today kicking off a fresh week. Good morning, Tony Smith.
Good morning.
I'm not going to ask if you missed me because the answer would hurt my feelings.
How was the week?
It was good. You know, it's always same thing, man. I imagine what life would be like if I did hit the Powerball. Mm. I probably would have spent more money in my off week. But other than that, in terms of my attention towards work, I would have spent the same amount.
Sure.
And,
yeah.
And it would have been an extended vacation at that point. But no, we had a nice time. We, you know, I didn't really do a whole lot. People ask, did you go anywhere? Well, we went on some college trips with my son, who'll be a senior coming up this year. So we did, you know, spend about three of the days last week doing that. Played a couple rounds of golf, hung around the house a good bit, you know, watch a lot of sports, the U.S. Open, baseball, NBA playoffs, tons of stuff going on.
You picked it right when the rain every afternoon really got here.
You know what, though, for me, I played last Sunday, like a week. I didn't play Father's Day. Like Father's Day, I like to spend time at home with my son,
sure.
You know, and not going to have any more of those opportunities going forward. And golf is the last thing on his agenda, man. He's not at all into that. He would do, like, if I said, hey, for Father's Day, why don't you come hang out with me? But I know he wouldn't enjoy it, so not going to do that. So we just spent the day together. We watched some Star Wars stuff and, you know, just being a dad and his son, which was great.
Yeah.
And, I played Sunday. I played Thursday. Those were the 2 days I was planning to play. It didn't get rained out either day. Hit plenty of balls at the range in the morning, so it was a good week. What about you guys? Everything good?
Everything's great.
A little mini camp action to keep you busy.
A little mini camp as they wrapped up the off-season program. Yeah. A day early, which we found out last weekend. I don't know exactly why. I still haven't heard anyone say why.
I'm not going to make a big deal out of it, but it's like, to me, like, it's odd. Just take every day you can practice and get better.
Like, I get that you had everybody here basically the whole time, right? Like virtually everybody here.
Have for one more day.
The whole time, I'm with you. If you had another day to practice another day, but okay.
Yeah, it's not this major deal. Let me check in with my man E.T. over here.
What day do, Mikey?
What's up, Emmanuelton? How are you, sir?
You know, just chilling, doing my thing in the lab. You know what I'm saying?
I got to get used to it. I got to get used to E.T.
What are you doing
hyping
in the
me
lab?
Up in the morning. Where have you been for the last 9 or 10 days?
In the lab, you know, while you were golfing and going on school trips, me and Tony, the fat prophet, been holding it down.
I gotcha. You got the kid celebrating Father's Day with you yesterday, which was nice.
Yeah, I got to drive up to pick him up, and he's going to be down here for the summer. But I spent Father's Day at a football camp. My oldest nephew, who happens to have the same birthday as Aiden, he participated in a football camp down at UCF.
Oh.
So after I drove from South Carolina, woke up early, we went to UCF, and Ricky did his thing in the football camp. So that
What grade is he in?
Going into his senior year.
Okay.
And he a dog.
Is he?
Oh, yeah.
What does he play?
Defensive tackle.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Big kid.
Big kid. He a monster.
All right, good.
Yeah, well, you know, Father's Day. But, you know, Jaguars Day, the boys are back in town together. Yes, let's go. Come on, somebody.
I had a whole week without chair dancing, Tony. I don't know how I stood it, quite frankly. I'm not sure. I also, I'm glad because I had a lot of things run through my head when I saw Brian Schottenheimer try to tell us that they weren't sure who the starting quarterback is going to be in Jacksonville, Florida.
Waiting on Urban to name that one.
Right, right. Just like we're not sure who the number one pick in the draft is going to be. We're going to wait for the owner, Shad Khan, to weigh in on that one. I get it, right? Like,
it's that football talk thing.
It's so silly.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, come on. We all know exactly who it is, and we've known it since the Jags locked up the number one pick in the draft. Didn't matter that Urban Meyer or anybody else came in, that Trevor Lawrence would be opening up the season as a starting quarterback for the Jags.
Yeah, watch the heads explode when he steps to a podium and says, C.J. Beathard going to start for us against Houston.
Oh, no, 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 no. You know, sometimes you look at a schedule and you're like, oh, man. Like in Chicago, right, they open up with the Rams on the road, right, Sunday Night Football. That Rams defense supposed to be really, really good.
Yeah, best in the league last year.
All right, you know, Justin Fields on the road in that environment, maybe that's not the ideal way to get him off to a hot start. Mm-hmm. Houston? like, I mean, if you couldn't.
It's as soft a start as you could have.
You couldn't handpick the better one, right? And other than it being at home, I guess, but I don't know if that's going to make a whole lot of difference. I kind of like getting one of the roadies out of the way against a team expected to be of that caliber. And here we are, a team that we support, coming off a 1-15 season, and we're acting like there's another team that can't hang with us. Well, I certainly hope that's the case with that team, right? Sometimes, you know, we're two ships that are passing in the night here, I believe, with the Jaguars, at least steaming past the Texans. Can we at least get that
locked
in for 2021? Yeah. But, I mean, you know, like, I get the whole thing. We're not going to hand it to anybody. We're not going to hand Trevor Lawrence a starting job. We're going to make him earn it. What has he done? What have you heard about him doing on the practice field or in terms of his preparation? You hear Daryl Bevel just raving about his professionalism and how great he's been. Of course he's going to be the starting quarterback for this football team. He is right now.
Going to be the starting quarterback. And something E.T. and I were joking about last week, you know, Bevel and the guys are getting the opportunity to talk about him. Schottenheimer talking about him last week too. And they're talking, Schottenheimer was saying, he'll text me in the middle of the night. He'll wake up with a question, just text me, hey, what do I do with this? Like, what kind of language are we using for this? Like, he's so involved in every aspect of trying to get ready to play quarterback for the team. And E.T. and I were joking around about there's people in New York who think that Jacksonville got the guy who doesn't care about football.
Oh.
Right?
Like, look, that is, man, we all know what that is, right? They know that they got the consolation prize. And it may be a great consolation prize. Zach Wilson may turn out to be a great quarterback in the league. And there's no doubt in my mind that the Jets would have gladly selected Trevor Lawrence over him in a millisecond.
Sprinted to take
right? I mean, just it's not even a question. So, you know, you do things like that. We all do that, right? To convince ourselves our situation is not as bad as it seems or it's a little bit better than they're making it out to be, whatever the case. So I get that. You know, they're going to.
I hope for my sake that if the Jaguars had somehow wind up with the number two pick, right, instead of number one, we don't have to play the mental game with it. They got Trevor Lawrence, wound up with the number one overall pick. But if they had wound up number two, that today I wouldn't be sitting here trying to convince you that anybody else was better than Trevor in this draft. That I go, look, I'm excited about whoever they took, Justin Fields, whatever. I'm excited about it. I hope he's going to be great. But, man, they could have had Trevor Lawrence. You know, like just – lose one more game or the Jets win one more game.
Right. I think in reality you'd feel that way, but you can't live in that space, right? You can't live where you're just like, oh man, what could have been? You know, before you've even like, so from their standpoint, I get it. They're going to rally around their guy. We're going to make this as good as possible. Here's why we think we may be more successful than your team. That doesn't mean they wouldn't trade quarterbacks with you if they're being honest about the situation.
Absolutely.
We don't need to worry about that. What I love to hear is throughout minicamp, seeing some of the quotes from some of the players just talking about, you know, watching him out there and seeing how, you know, it looks different. It is different.
Well, Tuesday was a day, right? Apparently, yeah.
Yeah, ball jumping out of his hand and the command and all the different things he has shown out there on the football field. I wonder what the the percentages of the snaps that he took. Now, he's been a little, I won't say beat up. That's too strong of a word. But they've been very open about, let's not put him in a bad position going into training camp. A little tweak of a hamstring. You had the shoulder surgery, the non-throwing shoulder. So there were reasons why you wouldn't just run him out there for 100% of the snaps. Like, I saw an estimate coming out of Green Bay that they gave Jordan Love like 270 out of 300 snaps. Mm. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
That's and there are reasons for that, right? I mean, he obviously needs to get up to speed in case Aaron Rodgers doesn't show up. He didn't have a normal rookie offseason last year with COVID. They didn't have any in-person practices. When you get to training camp and Aaron Rodgers is the starter, how much are they worrying about getting Jordan Love up to speed at that point?
Probably not much.
Probably not much, right? So, yeah. So that is like a 90% rate for Jordan Love. I wonder what Trevor Lawrence's percentage was, knowing that they were probably never going to push it anywhere near that anyway, mm-hmm. But like in terms of the amount of reps they wanted him to take, did he take the amount that they had anticipated he'd be able to? And you know, what percentage? And that shows you. I mean, look, nobody's buying Brian Schottenheimer. And I'm not saying even that he's lying. They may, in their process, not have officially declared Trevor Lawrence a starting quarterback, much like they didn't maybe declare him the number one pick in the draft, even though 99.999 with the repeating series of nines after it percent chance that they know exactly what's going to go down. And they have since the moment they got hired here. So
yeah, my guess is he probably didn't get the percentage of the snaps they thought he was going to get.
Maybe just
because the hamstring popped up.
Yep.
And I know there were a couple days out there where he basically wasn't running the 11-on-11, like the team stuff. He would do some 7-on-7, like that kind of thing, but wasn't doing the 11-on-11. So my guess is the percentage is probably a little bit lower than they thought. But as Urban said when he talked about it last week, they were limiting him in practice. But he's like, look, if we were playing a game tomorrow, Trevor could play the whole game. You know, it's not like it's that serious a thing. We're just being careful with it at this point. We got training camp to get him ready for the regular season. So
you do like, though, that you hear, that as an athlete, he looked quick out there. Like the things that you saw in the scouting reports translated immediately to the field. It's not like, oh, well, I've heard he's this, and I'm sure once he gets settled in, this will show up. But it's been pretty much, look, not that he's been mistake-free. That's okay.
No, yeah.
But he's flashed the talent, and that's the thing that, you can't replicate what he's got in these other quarterbacks on this roster.
No, it was a lot of fun hearing Shaq Griffin talk about him.
Oh, it's awesome.
And just, the ball coming out of his hands and all that kind of stuff. Like, what advice would you give him? Just be you, man. Like, it appears you got it.
Right.
Just be you.
What you have done is good enough to put you in this position
right
now. Let's capitalize on it. So, Trevor Lawrence already, one of the more highly regarded Jaguars without ever taking a snap in the National Football League. And
yes,
that's what happens when you are an elite prospect and you join a 1-15 team. The question is, how much will he get better between now and this time next year? Or that's pertaining to today's question of the day. And we ask you today, if you could buy stock in any three Jaguar players right now, which three do you think will have the greatest increase in value between now and this time next year? And you can look at it a couple of different ways. Like, put it into monetary terms. Let's say the Trevor Lawrence's stock is $100 a share, right? And he may go up, let's say, to 110, right? Just as a for instance, okay? And somebody else may be $2 a share, and they go up to $3 a share. Well, they only increase by a dollar, but they also increase by 50% of their value, where he'd be increasing by 10% of his value. So you can look at it either way you like, how that goes. But give us three players that you would buy stock in today for the Jaguars that you think this time next year, in the middle of June, we'll be saying, wow, he's come quite a considerable ways from where he was, and the value is this much higher compared to the rest of his teammates. So that's today's question of the day. We got a lot to get into if you want to be a part of it. A number of ways to do it. You can hit us up on Twitter at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at IME2 the T.
Come on, somebody.
Let's do that. 641-1010 on the phone lines or the text line, designed by Lifetime Enclosures. I'll see if I remember how to do this. Here it's Jaguars Today. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and ET with you on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Jaguars Today with Mike Dempsey, with Tony Smith, and E.T. Come on, somebody.
Come on, somebody. Love it. That's the best. All right. It is Jaguars Today. I'm back. We'll take a little more time off before training camp, Tone. I'm sure you will as well. And then it's on, man, you know?
Yeah.
It's not like this job beats us into a pulp and we need that, you know, we feel ground down to a nub. So
no.
It's not that I need the recharge of the batteries all that much, but who doesn't want to take some time off if you got to come into it?
A little bit, yeah.
You know? That's all.
Yeah.
A couple of things here. Urban Meyer.
Okay.
What's your gut tell you about how long he stays around in Jacksonville as of now?
I think he's here through at least the end of Trevor Lawrence's rookie deal.
Okay, so like a 5-year, basically, because he's got the 5th-year option?
Yeah.
Seems reasonable. There's no way we could say for sure with Urban Meyer because he has left jobs early, and I get that. And, you know, I was skeptical, and we'll see how it plays out, of their hiring Urban Meyer for various reasons, but as of right now, like, I don't see any signs that he is, you know, overwhelmed by the task you know, and it just seems like, okay, he's come in, he's had a few things to learn, as you would expect any coach coaching in the National Football League for the first time to have to go through some of that learning process. But, you know, in terms of enthusiasm and feedback, it seems like he's getting what he wants out of his players. They've had near perfect, was able to hire the staff that he wanted. They went through the draft process. They feel pretty good about what they acquired in free agency. Did they hit everybody? No. But I think for the most part, he's probably, I mean, a guy like that, you're probably never completely satisfied. You don't get to be as winning a coach as he is with ever just going, yeah, we got it now. Yeah,
there's
right?
no we got this.
Yeah, yeah. We got it, right? The old Gus Bradley thing, that might have been the best thing that Gus Bradley ever said, right? The whole, I got this, are the three most dangerous words in football. Like, I don't need any more instruction. I don't need, and the Jags have not been an organization that have been anywhere near being able to say, I got this for a long time. And so I'm not suggesting that he is just satisfied now with the way the offseason has gone. I'm sure that the coaching staff, they'll take a little downtime, but they'll be grinding behind the scenes. They don't think they're going to go in here and be this abysmal failure in Trevor Lawrence's rookie campaign. I think they think they're going to be competitive week in, week out, and win their share of games right out of the gates.
And I think part of it becomes difficult to project how long Urban's going to be here, because I agree with you 100% that there is, it feels like, complete buy-in to what Urban Meyer's trying to do to change what they're doing right now in Jacksonville. Are the players as bought in year 3 and 4? You know, I don't know.
Got to get some results.
Right. The results are going to have a big impact on what's going to happen with that. I think they're on the right trajectory to get the results that they want to get after a couple years for Urban Meyer, but that's no guarantee for Urban. And, yeah, I think you go into an offseason where everything is so new. New quarterback, new coach, talking about a new way to handle things with the players. From a development standpoint, like all that was new with this team, I'm not surprised that they got nearly perfect attendance in this offseason. I don't think they'll have that again, you know, going forward. I think the veteran players on the team are probably going to be like, yeah, I can spend a week at home. I don't need to be here for the voluntary portion of the offseason. I think they'll still get good attendance, but I don't think it'll be like it was this year.
Maybe not, but then again, you know, like you didn't hear any – sometimes a coach wants to come in and grind guys down to the nub to assert his dominance, and
yeah,
we're going to show you
that,
right.
No.
You didn't hear any of that. You know, it's like he I think has shown a balance in wanting to protect his players and all this stuff with the sports performance. A lot of the players have brought this up. Like we like the idea of having some of these new training methods in house and what they're building towards and the vision, and that's part of it too. It's one thing to stand up there and have a press conference with Mark Lamping and Shad Khan explaining our vision for the future of this organization in various capacities. You got to communicate that to the rank and file player out there who may not be tuning into something like that and understand where this organization is and where they expect it to be in the short term. So I do think that there's been a lot of buy-in. I think there should be, for the returning players on a 1-15 team, no matter who the new coach is, they should – there should be some eagerness to hear some new ideas.
Yes.
Right? Coming from a guy who has the winning record that he has at the collegiate level, and he is synonymous with winning. Granted, he's never done it in the National Football League, but you're not going to get a first-time NFL coach that, no matter how good of an assistant they are, they're likely not going to have that kind of head coaching resume in college, or they would not have been an NFL assistant for that long a period of time.
Right, yeah.
So you've got to figure that some of the new guys are buying in. That's good. But the returning players should be eager to hear a different message, because the message they've been hearing for the last few years just hasn't been working, regardless of, whether it's Urban Meyer or, you know, first-time NFL assistant getting his first crack at the head coaching reins. So I thought it was interesting, and I know that in Jaguar fandom, Jason LaCanfora is not well-regarded for a variety of reasons, right? But nevertheless, he put together a list of the new coaches, and it's kind of like at one point, because I feel like he really is rooting for Urban Meyer to fail in Jacksonville.
Reading the paragraph he had there,
really wants him to go down. And I get it. Like, Urban Meyer is a polarizing guy, right? And if you don't have a vested interest in Urban Meyer, Urban Meyer may have rubbed you the wrong way over the years. Mm-hmm. And so you're sitting there, look, I have guys I root for. Who am I to criticize anyone for rooting against people? I'm the king of rooting against people, right? I was having so much fun when the Nets got eliminated this weekend. I have no stake in that series, but I just I dipped my toes in those waters, and people were getting so angry with me. And that's fun to me. Like, it's just sports, you know?
Sure, yeah.
Somebody pointed out, like, I don't know, and I'm paraphrasing here, when did it become the thing that you have to elevate yourself by putting others down, or then feel the need to do that? Like, I don't feel the need.
Since
I enjoy
Cain and Abel.
I enjoy it, first of all. I don't feel a need. Like, there's that, right? Right. That didn't go so well.
No.
Particularly for Abel,
no,
as I recall. But, you know, that's just how some fans are. You know, I'm not kumbaya. I'm not, you know, sit around a campfire and
slapping hands. Hey, good job.
Good job, too. And my team ain't going to win. I don't want anybody's team to win. Somebody has to win. I want the one that offends me the least to win. Right? That right now, I think in the NBA, that's probably Milwaukee or maybe Phoenix. And I'm not even sure why. Like, I don't know. What do the Clippers do to me? Nothing.
Nothing.
Right? Not a thing. You know, the Hawks at least eliminated in Knicks. So there's some.
Some direct.
Some, right. Yeah. Some, you know, you can make sense of that. But, you know, the rest of it, I don't care. I just want someone to root against. I need somebody to root against.
Yeah.
If Philadelphia had won, I don't know if I'd watch the Eastern Conference Finals, to be honest with you. Whatever. Philly, Milwaukee, doesn't matter to me. So I'm glad I have somebody to root against. But LaCanfora, clearly rooting against Urban Meyer.
Feels that way,
the same time, though, what he did was he put out a story. I think this came out Friday. Right? He took the seven new NFL head coaches and basically ranked them in the order of which ones had the ability to win in the near term.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't think just in a vacuum, any coach taking over a 1-15 team would be ranked that highly on that list. Of course, Trevor Lawrence is a major mitigating factor in all this, right? But the Jags ranked second in terms of the new head coaches in LaCanfora's eyes, a chance to win and win early in the National Football League. He puts Brandon Staley at the top. And again, they're a very fashionable team. The Chargers got, you know, a very similar situation in terms of they've got a quarterback. You know, a year ago, they had no idea that Herbert would turn into this. The Jags have an expectation, I think, for Trevor Lawrence. It's even higher than they could have had for Herbert realistically last year. But now that he's played a season, you're like, wow, the sky's the limit for this guy.
Sure. When all the jobs were still open and it looked like the Jags were talking to Urban Meyer, we said at the time, the only other team that has an open job that could talk to Urban Meyer that may get the same or close to the same level of interest would be the Chargers.
Yep.
That's it.
Follow the QB.
Yep. That job is a good job. It's a good job. And so I'm not surprised Brandon Staley's number one on the list.
But Urban's number two.
Uh-huh.
Despite the fact, as you said, then LaCanfora did everything he possibly could to argue about the downfall of Urban Meyer in Jacksonville, even though he put him as the second most likely to succeed in the short term. I'll just go through the rank here. Nick Sirianni with the Eagles. Mm-hmm. And go to the quarterback question. Do they have an answer?
Yeah.
We don't know. Jalen Hurts, promising at times in the final month of the season. Got to improve on his completion percentage. Got to improve Absolutely, in some areas, yeah. but an intriguing player. Dan Campbell with the Lions. You feel like Jared Goff's kind of a stopgap player there. Mm-hmm. But he has gone to a Super Bowl. They've raved about how well he's played in the offseason. I don't know. That could be just, you know, trying to pump up the fan base yep. and different things.
How much does the division open up if Aaron Rodgers is not in it?
That could be huge.
Right.
Right? Yeah. Outside of that, you take Aaron Rodgers out, especially this year even, right? Andy Dalton, they're still saying, is QB1 in Chicago for the time being. And if not, they're going to be dealing with a rookie in Justin Fields, who for whatever reason fell outside the top 10 of the NFL draft. Minnesota is good, but not mm-hmm. great, you know? So they had the Lions and Dan Campbell fourth, Arthur Smith and the Falcons. And, you know, they've got Matt Ryan. Yes, they lost Julio Jones. That's a big loss in terms of immediate on-field impact. But they've got him fifth. Robert Saleh with the Jets, you know, with a rookie quarterback and Zach Wilson coming in sixth. And then David Culley with the Texans, Ooh. Despite the fact that technically on the roster, he may have the best quarterback of the whole lot in Deshaun Watson. The question is, will he ever play another down for right. the Houston Texans? And the rest of it, I mean, the first word in the write-up on him is just Godspeed, man. Just poor guy will have to had to wait until his mid-60s to get his first shot, and he does it with the Texans at the worst possible time.
Yeah, I know. It is what it is. I don't feel bad for Houston about anything, but every time Coley has to go to a microphone, I'm like, this poor guy.
Right. Like, where are they at right now? Like, they were at the stage where they didn't really want to talk about Deshaun Watson. I think that's kind of where they are right now. They have nothing mm-hmm. new to say.
No.
You yeah. saw Pro Football Talk probably over the weekend said that the NFL has yet to interview Deshaun Watson. They yep. also said in that write-up that when they do these league
He'll be
investigations,
among the last ones they
exactly.
talk to,
they
yeah.
they want be well, and I think a major part of that is they want to get everybody on the record, right? Mm-hmm. And go like we already know the answers to these questions, Deshaun. At least we think we do, you know. And it's always, you know, different sides to the story. Even though you get one side of the story, doesn't mean you got the truth.
Sure,
but you know, they want to catch you slipping up. Right. I think mm-hmm. that's really what it boils down to. Like, they want you to know that we've got everybody on the record right now. So anything you tell us now, we may already know the answer to 90% of what we're going to ask you. We're just going to see what your reaction is and what your answer is to some of this stuff. But
sure.
At this point, I would still suspect that Deshaun Watson does not suit up for the Houston Texans ever again.
Agreed.
But we'll do this. When we come back, we'll read exactly the – I guess it's a backhanded compliment of sorts, because Urban Meyer's ranked for a – taking over a team that went 1-15 to have the second best chance to win in the near term and sustain it, by the way,
mm-hmm.
and have a bit of job security. And these are all things that that go into the ranking, according to Lock and Fora. We'll tell you what he had to say about Urban Meyer and his expectations for just how long-term that long-term could turn out to be in the city of Jacksonville. You want to be a part of the conversation? We'd love to have you at 641-1010 on the phone lines or the text line, Designed by Lifetime Enclosures. And, of course, on Twitter, the question of the day today. We're asking, if you could buy stock in any three Jaguar players right now, which three do you think will have the greatest increase in value between now and this time a year from now? So 12 months out, which three would have been the best stock investments for you if you're investing in particular individual Jacksonville Jaguar players? Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and ET, it's Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
I want to refrain from saying he's the next Bocelli just because he's a big, thick-bodied white guy that has good feet. Has anyone been able to eyeball Walker Little and what he really looks like? I mean, what are the reports out of training camp regarding Walker Little?
That he's everything you just said.
Now, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, Dave Wydell, I guess I was calling in Friday's mm-hmm. show last week. It seemed like Dave wanted to anoint Walker Little as the next Bocelli without saying it, but wanted someone who had actually at least seen him practice once to back him up on that. Prior to him going on that
yeah.
that ledge.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to stop the Walker Little hype train at this point.
Honestly, if you don't have Walker Little in one of your three players whose stock might increase the most in the next 12 months,
You weren't kidding.
Right, like, by the end of the year, I don't know. Will he start it all this year? By this time next year, will he be looked at as the left tackle of the present and the future for the Jacksonville Jaguars?
I think so, yeah.
Which is a major increase in his stock, right? And maybe it happens sooner than that.
Yeah, and you've heard nothing from anybody talking about Walker Little at this point that indicates he's not legitimately in a competition for a starting spot right now.
Right.
Like when they show up for training camp, that he could be the starting left or right tackle for this football team this year.
I mean, honestly, when I look at guys who are going to increase in value the most, he may be the number one guy on the list between now and next year. He's got draft capital invested in him. He's got opportunity that likely, at the very latest, will open up next offseason. Because I'd be surprised if Cam Robinson gets a long-term deal done with the Jags after they invested in Walker Little in the second round and after you've gotten so many glowing reports on him. And granted, we're not putting the pads on right now and going full speed out there either.
No.
So, but, you know, all you can do is hear good things. What you don't want to hear is it looks a little slow-footed. You know, hopefully he'll pick things up and he'll put in that study time by the time training camp comes around. What you've heard is, hey, look, his feet look exceptional. The guy is incredibly smart, built like you would envision a franchise left tackle to be built like, and you know, let's see when the pads go.
I mean, when George Warhop was asked about him and said he is as or more prepared than any first or second round pick I've ever been around before.
Right. On the offensive line. Yeah. Oh, well, okay then.
Okay.
Yes.
Let's get to camp. Let's go.
Then again, you and I can take ourselves and the audience back to when Nick Saban came on with us on Jaguars Today
and
said that Cam Robinson was the most pro ready player he had ever coached coming out of college.
He had a real good rookie year.
He did. He had a solid rookie year.
Yeah.
I mean, he wasn't Pro Bowl, but it was good.
Mm-hmm.
Nevertheless, got that out there. Before we go to the phone lines here, and we're going to in a moment, just wanted to give you these comments here from Lock and Four because we set this up here. This is what he said about Urban Meyer going into his first year. These are first-year coaches who is in position to win in the short term and sustain it for the future. Okay, that's basically what his ranking is. And Urban Meyer was second on this list to Brandon Staley taking over the Chargers. He says this about Meyer: I suspect this ends up being a brief experiment, 2 years or so.
Mm.
But that would most likely be because Meyer walks. Let's just say there's a history. But Shad Khan didn't spend weeks trying to woo him to discard him quickly. He hopes Meyer, speaking of Khan here, a god of sorts in that part of the country, can help him get that practice facility built and raise the profile of the franchise nationally and internationally. And he gets Trevor Lawrence. Sure, a lot of Meyer's college ways seem destined to go sideways at the NFL level, a la Chip Kelly, among others. But he's getting all the power and a ton of money and might be able to stick around as a team president or consultant or something once he's over being on the sidelines again. What do you think Urban Meyer would get more satisfaction from? Being the head coach of a successful team or being the president or whatever?
He'll just go back to TV.
What? Right. Why wouldn't he just collect those massive checks and just sit there and analyze games?
Yeah.
Like, to me, like, I got the college thing. I get the fact that, you know, there was stress and all these other things were involved. But it always seemed like they're, you know, coming from the Midwest. There was talk, is Notre Dame really his dream job? Is Ohio State his dream job? What the hell is his dream job? I don't know. I'm not saying the Jaguars are, you grow up and the Jaguars are your dream job. You're like, I'm going to coach in the NFL one day, and damn it, I'm doing it in Jacksonville, Florida.
He loves Duvall.
Right? But he does love Duvall, right? And I don't get the sense that, I mean, it's not the same. You can't just, like, almost force your way into another situation in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not going to, I don't believe, you know, if, like, let's play this out. Worst case scenario, Urban Meyer, 2 years in, that's enough. It's too stressful. I'm going to quit. I retire, right? Then he wants to come back a year later and coach the Dallas Cowboys. I don't think that, you know, he'd still be under the Jags would still have his rights, probably, I would imagine. Although, in a scenario like that, they would have moved on, hired a new coach, and all those kind of things. But I just don't see that being the play. Maybe I'm naive as far as that goes, but this seems more like here's a guy who just really wants Urban to quit to justify his worldview of what Urban Meyer is all about.
Yeah, that's what it feels like reading it.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I read the whole thing to you, and basically begrudgingly has to admit, yeah, despite all that, damn, he does have Trevor Lawrence. And what are these college ways that are going to go sideways at the NFL level?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, Chip Kelly, okay.
I mean,
Chip was trying to do something different.
Radical, you know, like in terms of the pace of play and different things like that. And now some of this stuff is a little bit radical. Like, one thing Chip Kelly did up in Philadelphia was really overhaul their sports science kind of, you know. He was like the first guy I remember talking. Everyone's talking about the Jags had these smoothies. They've been doing it for years now here, you know, for under a different amount of coaches that everyone's, I don't know what measurements they use, you know, but they determine here, Tony Smith, here are the things that you need. You're maybe deficient in this vitamin or whatever. And
this is your post-workout smoothie.
This is your concoction.
Yeah.
ET's going to have one. Mike's going to have one. We're all going to have one tailored to us. Is that, I mean, I don't know what Urban Meyer is bringing other than let's have a lot of attention to detail. Let's have the best facilities we possibly can have. I don't think he's out there going, let's play bull in the ring, right? Let's, you know, let's go Oklahoma drill every day and come in with a college mentality where they're going to beat you to hell during the week. And we've heard of that. Like, how many times has Leon told us every day was like a war, right? Well, when you got 100 guys on the roster and most of them are scholarship players, you can maybe have some of that attrition and weed some of those guys out. You know, you can't beat Miles Jack and Joe Schobert to a pulp every week and expect them to have a weekly competition with Damian Wilson or anybody. You know what I mean? It doesn't work that way in the pros.
Yeah, I don't know when in Philadelphia the players decided they weren't bought into whatever Chip Kelly was doing. Right? Like, I don't know when that moment came or what that line was for them in Philadelphia. I'm not saying that that line doesn't exist with whatever Urban is going to try to do in Jacksonville. I acknowledge that it exists somewhere, right? If they don't have a certain level of success, if they feel like they're getting pushed beyond what they should be being pushed and it's not resulting in what they want to see it result in the field and in their checkbook as well, when everything is said and done, then yeah, I think it could end badly for Urban Meyer and Jacksonville. But there's no indication based on what we've seen since he got here that they're anywhere close to that kind of line right now with the players. Everything you hear them say is, yeah, he supports us 100%.
He's a winner.
Right. We need something. He gets it for us.
Right. And we want to follow him. We need to listen to this guy. He knows how to win. And to them, at least publicly, they are taking the position that winning at a high level in college can translate to the NFL. That winning is winning. And in coaching football is coaching football. Now, is it that simple? No. I'm sure there are a few things. And maybe something will come up, and I can't imagine what the scenario will be exactly. And maybe it'll cost the Jags a game or something, you know, because Urban doesn't have that NFL experience and there's a little something different about the pro to the college game. But let's see it play out before we start anticipating that is going to be kind of the default position.
Oh, man, just beat Houston.
Got to do that.
Yeah.
I have, like, all the confidence in the world right now. Like, I would put a sizable bit of coin that – I wouldn't do it now because I got to see that we get the team healthy to the starting line, right? But if the Jags are healthy and Houston doesn't have Deshaun Watson, I mean, this is going to be one of the most anticipated opening week victories, expected, put it that way, opening week victories that I can remember in a long time.
Yeah.
And which is kind of crazy for a team that only won one game last year. But
no doubt.
You know, I mean, if Trevor Lawrence isn't able to go in and beat Houston, first of all, if he doesn't, his career's not over, right? Like, if really, let's not kid ourselves. You should expect this. This is a team in Houston that seems to be going in the wrong direction, and not much positive has come out about their offseason to this point in time. And you've got a guy who is talked about as a generational, transformational quarterback prospect.
They had a really good attendance
in
their offseason.
Workouts.
So good.
Except for one guy.
That their workouts, they decided they didn't even need the mandatory minicamp.
They skipped the whole minicamp.
Yeah.
I mean, the Jags took the last day of minicamp and canceled that.
They got 50 new players of the 90 on their roster from last year.
50?
Yeah.
That seems like a lot.
That's a lot. Like, even by NFL standards where you turn it over, 50 is a lot. Well,
I mean, 50, and what are we comparing it to, though? I mean, are you saying, like every team, like, if you have a 90-man roster, wouldn't you, by default, have to have 37 new players? Or are you saying that guys that were on your practice squad last year would not be counted as new players?
I wouldn't count those as new players.
Okay. Well, yeah. If it's that, then that's an incredibly high amount of guys. But otherwise, every team at the most would have 53 guys coming back, and we know that there's going to be some turnover. But
oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah, that's a team that's a mess. And
it's a lot, yeah.
I'm with you. Got to get that dub right out of the gate.
You just have to beat Houston.
And I honestly think they will. I have so much confidence in that. Like, I feel like this season's going to get off to a good start. Of course, last season got off to a good start in that department as well.
Mm-hmm.
But you feel like things can
Yeah, hopefully
continue.
It feels a little bit different than week one last year, right? Like, I keep going back to that win every now and then in my head. I'm like, Gardner went 19 of 20 that day.
Mm-hmm.
19 of 20. And if they drop either of the interceptions they made, I think they probably lose that game.
Very likely.
With their quarterback going 19 of 20. That was the margin
for the
Jaguars last year.
They're not going to limit it to 20. You know, like, I don't get the sense that this is going to be a case where, hey, let's put the handcuffs on Trevor and let's try to win as close to the vest as possible. You got talent. You're going to unleash him, man. And I think they're going to try to unleash him here. Continue to hear some positive buzz about Philip Dorsett out of practice. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think he's going to have a high reception total. I think there are too many guys ahead of him in the pecking order. And I don't think all of a sudden this team turns into a top 10 offensive team overnight. I think they're going to be much better. But that's an interesting player right there, you know, in terms of almost an afterthought when they signed him. Oh, yeah, well, we'll see if he even makes the roster kind of thing. To now, I'd be surprised if they don't look at him as their fourth receiver on this football team, which, you know, Colin Johnson needs to get on the horse then if he's going to be active on game days and, you know, contribute on special teams. And he can do that.
Sure.
But, you know, look, competition's good.
Yep, they just added Treadwell on Friday.
Right, which I'd be stunned if Laquon Treadwell made this team.
Yeah,
based
I was a
on the
little
way
bit
his career
surprised.
Path has followed. Yeah,
with Jonvea Johnson, the wide receiver they cut to make room for him on the roster, everything you hear about him is fast. Like, I was a little bit surprised when they made that move for Treadwell, but maybe they feel like they need a guy with a bigger body at some point. I don't get it. Like, I think it's going to be real hard for Treadwell to make the team.
I do too, but then we're talking about exactly what you just said. Real hard for Jonvea Johnson to make the team, right?
Sure.
Like, no matter
but
how
But at least
fast
that
you
speed,
are.
Maybe it plays on special teams. I don't know what Treadwell could even offer in that area.
I don't know. Maybe he can run some of the stuff that a tight end typically would run.
Maybe.
You know, you see, like, isn't Jordan Matthews declaring that he's switching to tight end in an effort to continue, you know, getting an opportunity in the league somewhere? Although, you know, reading John Shipley's piece at Jaguar Report for SI last week, kind of wrapping up just the offseason and guys that have stood out, he said, you know, that really that at times some of the tight ends look really good out there. They just don't have any NFL production to back that up. And you're in a circumstance at this time of year where you're running a lot of 7-on-7. You're running situations that are designed to make receivers and tight ends look good.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that all plays out. But nevertheless, despite the fact that Lock and Fora tried to say as many smarmy things about Urban Meyer as possible, still ranked him as the second best new coach in position to have some immediate success. Should tell you, even for a detractor like that, that tells you that it's hard to deny the impact that Trevor Lawrence has on this roster. Because that's
what
it comes down to. You could have had, if Urban Meyer's here and everything else is the same and Zach Wilson is the quarterback, I think he'd be down where Robert Saleh would be. And that's more to the power of having the right guy under center every snap than anything else, I think, in today's NFL. And that goes the same for Staley out with the Chargers because they've got their guy in Herbert. All right, we'll come back. This Dayton football, the gems from around the National Football League. If you want to be a part of it, 641-1010 on the phone lines or the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures. Today's question of the day asking you, which three Jags would you buy stock in today thinking they'll have the biggest increase in value between now and this time a year from now. With Tony Smith and ET, I'm Mike Dempsey. Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, you may be surprised to learn that not a lot happens on this date in football history annually because it's June. Mm-hmm. And there's not a lot of football being played, mm-hmm. but there are birthdays to celebrate. I always learn about a new player or two every time we go through this cycle. And this one, Mike McCormick, never heard of this guy before, was an NFL offensive tackle who was a third-round pick in 1951 by the then New York Yankees of the National Football League. And so he played 1 year, went to the Pro Bowl as a rookie, and then got drafted to go fight in the Korean War. Which he did. He went off to war in 1952, 1953. Mm-hmm. Came back in 54. At that point, the New York Yankees team had folded. So he was declared a free agent immediately. Was signed, I believe, by Baltimore. But Cleveland traded for him before he ever played a game. Looking back at his Pro Bowl rookie campaign, he went on to play 9 more seasons with the Browns. He went on to be part of 2 NFL championship teams. Made 6 Pro Bowls in his career. And ultimately was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 1984. That's Mike McCormick, who passed away in 2013. He would have been 91 years old today. And happy birthday to a local guy made good. Andre Cooper, a Fletcher High grad back in the day, went to Florida State University in the 1990s, played 10 games with the Broncos in 99, had 9 catches for 98 yards. Coop, a big part of the local community here, 46 years young today. And many more to come, Andre. We wish the best for you out there. Happy birthday to Andre Cooper and everybody else celebrating today. That's what we have for you on this date in football history.
Now, gems around the NFL. Brought to you by Beaches Jewelry and Pawn in Jack's Beach.
So Mike McCormick came back to football and then got traded to the Cleveland Browns?
He came back to football, was a free agent, got signed, I believe, by Baltimore, and then traded to the Cleveland Browns, yes.
So Paul Brown found him one.
Apparently so.
Back in the early 50s. Buffalo wide receiver Cole Beasley released a statement on social media on Friday afternoon, going into detail as to why he will not get the vaccine. Beasley said that he has not gotten the vaccine and pledged that he is going to, quote, live my life like I want to regardless. I will be outside doing what I want. I'll be out in public. If you're scared of me, then steer clear or get vaccinated. I may die of COVID, but I'd rather die actually living. I'm not going to take meds for a leg that isn't broken. I'd rather take my chances with COVID and build up my immunity that way. I'll play for free this year to live life how I've lived it from day one. If I'm forced into retirement, so be it, end quote. Beasley also said that a lot of other players feel the same way, but aren't in the same place in their careers where they can say it openly. Soon to be inducted into the Hall of Fame wide receiver Calvin Johnson told WoodwardSports.com that he wanted to be released to finish his career with another team outside of Detroit, but that the Lions wouldn't trade or release him. Johnson, who's going into the Hall of Fame this year, this is 5 years ago now, Johnson also said that Stafford wanted out of Detroit. They finally let him go in a trade this offseason. Rusty Harden, Deshaun Watson's attorney, told KPRC-TV in Houston yesterday that the NFL still has not interviewed Watson regarding the allegations against him. The Texans report for training camp on July 27th. That is 36 days from today. The NFL is hosting a general manager forum this week, with the goal being to improve the number of minorities in front office positions across the league. The forum has been named after Hall of Famer Ozzie Newsome, former Jaguars Vice President of Player Personnel and Black College Football Hall of Fame co-founder James Shaq Harris is among those that are scheduled to speak at the forum today.
All right, a couple of things there. Look, Cole Beasley can do whatever he likes. It does sound silly to me when he says,
I'm not going to take meds for a leg that isn't broken.
Okay. Does that mean you're not going to take the polio vaccine because you don't have polio yet? I mean,
it's preventative.
Right. I mean, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But I think the big thing, nobody's forcing him to take anything.
No.
You know, and, oh, by the way, you know, he says the NFL Players Association doesn't represent the players. Well, doesn't represent maybe your point of view, mm-hmm. but my guess is the majority of the players are not as adamant about that issue as Cole Beasley. At least the majority aren't. And there were a lot of COVID restrictions in place last year, right? Those basically, they're just saying, hey, look, if you're not vaccinated, you can still play. just under the same restrictions you played under last year. But if you do go ahead and get vaccinated and you reduce the chance of bringing it into our locker room, and I heard the argument, and I've heard it, we've all heard it. These are young guys. They're not likely to succumb to it. It's not just about – it's about stopping the spread of it, right? And you come in, and maybe somebody in the locker room has a kid at home who has some medical issues or something like that, and they're more susceptible and more at risk if they get it. So that's basically what it's about. Nobody's making you get it.
No.
You don't want to get it. You're just going to have to adhere to certain protocols. If you don't want to, don't play. That's your prerogative, Cole Beasley. Go ahead. I mean, I wonder, you know, you see these stories that, and I don't know how they know if this is word of mouth or what exactly, because I have no idea what percentage of the Jaguar players have been vaccinated. But I do know this, based on reports, they're one of four teams that are at the low end of having guys get vaccinations. So what can happen, it's not even a matter of, is anybody going to get COVID? Is anybody going to get sick necessarily? It's like, okay, you're not vaccinated. Now you've been in contact with someone, the whole contact tracing route.
Yeah.
Are you going to be available to play this week or not? And oh, by the way, if the NFL owners had their way, players who are not vaccinated, who are not eligible to play in a given week, they wouldn't pay them.
Right.
But the NFLPA squashed that quickly. And so if Cole Beasley's wondering what he got, if Cole Beasley comes into contact with someone who has COVID and not being vaccinated has to go through a period of time where he has to be tested multiple times, and in that window, there's a game, and he misses that game, he's still going to get his check.
Still going to get paid.
So that's what the NFLPA has done for Cole Beasley and for others. So, look, it's his right. He doesn't have to get it.
No.
Right? But the NFL also is within their right in collectively bargaining with the Players Association to say, hey, here are what the rules are going to be. You can be mad all you like if you're Cole Beasley. The only reason I care about it is I don't want it to impact the Jaguars' chance to win football games.
Sure.
Period. Live your life the way you're going to live your life. Fine. I'm going to live mine, and we're all going to do that. We're all going to have thoughts about that, and I'm not debating this whole issue to that degree. But if you want to play professional football, this is part of the current landscape of playing professional football.
No doubt, yeah.
And I think ultimately you're going to see the majority of players go, man, this is – I don't want to have to be stuck in the hotel when I'm on the road, or – you know, that I have to stay in, or I can't go out here, I can't go out there. And it is going to be more restrictive, just like it was last year. And somehow you made it through, and they didn't miss any games, and they're just trying to say, hey, now, look, here's an incentive. If you can go out and...
makes it easier for us to do this.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense from a league perspective, and that's pretty much what the memo said to me, is that the league is saying, yeah, we would prefer you get the vaccine without saying we prefer you to get the vaccine. We can't make you do it, but you want to live the way that we lived last year? Fine. Don't get vaccinated.
Albert Breer made the point today, and others have made it as well in the Monday Morning Quarterback column, that if you are a team, let's say you're – it's one thing if you're – Trevor Lawrence, or you're Shaq Griffin, or you're either a guy who's a big investment has been made in, a proven player, whatever the case, you're in a different category.
Yep.
If you are a guy who doesn't make a 53-man roster, if you want to continue playing football, you probably have to get it, because otherwise, if you bring in a guy to work out on a Tuesday, which is the big workout day, there's going to be a 5-day protocol that they have to go through. They can't just get out on the practice field with your guys. So they might not even be eligible to play that upcoming Sunday.
Right.
And even if they were, they won't have been on the practice field. Whereas if you sign a guy who's been vaccinated and you say, oh, yeah, you know what? We're going to sign him to the active roster today, which happens around the National Football League on a weekly basis. That guy could practice the very next day. That day if he wanted to.
Yeah,
so,
and I think there'll be pretty big pressure on, you know, especially quarterbacks across the league. Like Sam Darnold a few weeks ago was one of the guys who came out and said, I don't know about getting a vaccine, still collecting information to see how I'm going to feel about it. Like the pressure for a starting quarterback to not have the black cloud of, I came in contact with someone who has COVID on Thursday, I may not be able to play this week. Like the pressure from an organizational standpoint of, go get the shot. You know, like, don't put us through this. Like, there's just no reason to risk it. From an organizational standpoint, I can understand why there would be pressure on players to just go ahead and get it done. And look, as an individual, if you choose not to, there'll be, you have to live under these protocols.
Right.
Deal with it.
I don't know what kind of pressure teams will be, you know, that's a.
I don't know what they're allowed to do.
A very touchy area.
But it does feel like one of those things where you could understand, like in the building, there would be that, oh, are you serious? You know, like that would kind of be the reaction
to it.
Well,
and I would think part of it is like when you, again, with guys like that, there may be some internal pressure, and it will depend on the makeup of the locker room. But when you're talking about a workout player, a guy who's trying to land a job.
Oh, yeah.
Will they even, I don't know, like, if they're allowed to ask you before you come in to work out, what's your vaccination status? But at some point, they have to be able to ask you because that is, it has to be factored into the team's plans. They have to know in order to go through the protocols of when they can put you on the roster.
Yeah.
So they have to be able to ask you that question.
It's not nothing.
And so if they just might go, hey, look, they're not going to say it publicly, but they just may not work out guys that don't have the vaccination because it's not worth their trouble. We're looking for a stopgap 1 week guy who might be able to come in and help us out because we're a little shorthanded. We're a little banged up at tight end this week.
Sure.
We need a guy to come in for a week or two. And that happens all the time in the NFL. Oh, what? It's going to take you 5 days to even clear to be able to forget it. It's not worth it. You know what? You're only going to be around here for a week.
We had to do it last year. This year, we don't.
Right. We're going to go with the guys that we can get on the football field right away. And the other one with Calvin Johnson, like I get, you know, Calvin Johnson, his circumstance, he's upset. I don't know if it's just that Matthew Stafford wanted out in Detroit or if they reach a point where they're like, you know what? We're better to bottom out a little bit right here and get what we can because the cap situation is becoming untenable. But I would say to Calvin Johnson, fantastic player, didn't get his way. He was under contract. That's the team's prerogative. If you wanted more leverage, should have been a quarterback, apparently. I mean, because that's just kind of the way it's going. I don't know if Barry Sanders ever would have played for anybody else, but he walked away. You know, it's not like that organization didn't have a track record. Calvin Johnson's a great player. He still wasn't Barry Sanders. If they did it to Barry – they could certainly do it to Calvin Johnson. In other words, I want to play for somebody else. Well, good for you. You're under contract, and unless we determine that that's in our best interest to get something for you, we're just not going to allow that to happen.
Which they might have, but he retired.
Right, and maybe it was because they were unwilling to go that route, right? But maybe they figured, look, setting the precedent of selling him for who knows what, maybe they shopped him around and they could only get – a second or third round pick. I don't know. You know, and people say, oh, that's Calvin Johnson. But who knows, right? What they're able to get. They knew what they were able to get for Matthew Stafford. If they're unable to get the return they want, would Matthew Stafford still be a Lion? Probably so.
You know?
So anyway, just wanted to comment on those two. We'll come back on the other side. And among other things, we'll take a look at the Hometown Heroes pod coming out this week featuring another local superstar. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and E.T. here with you. You're listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Part of the preparation is figuring out how best you can play the golf course. And it's not going to be the same for everybody. And, you know, I know there's a lot going on, and the stats say that the further you are down the hole and closer you are to the green, the better. But you know what? I don't think that necessarily holds true in the big events. You know, I would much rather be 90 yards from the fairway than 40 yards from 5-inch rough, at a U.S. Open. So I don't understand how that correlates.
Now, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
That is former world number one golfer David Duval on with Dan Hicken and Denny Thompson on the Hometown Heroes podcast, the latest episode which will come out this upcoming Thursday. And he'll talk about, a variety of things, obviously mostly golf related, talking about analytics in general right there. Like, I think that, to me, David Duval is a good golf analyst. I know he knows what he's talking about, but that doesn't mean we can't have differences of opinion. I think it's an oversimplification on analytics. Like, you know, to say, well, yeah, I think most guys would rather have it from 90 yards with like a gap wedge in their hand or a sand wedge and be able to spin the ball than have it from 40 yards out of the rough. Okay, that's an extreme example of why bombing it down the fairway isn't always the best idea. But the difference is when you're playing like a 500-yard par 4 and you're hitting it from 135 because you bombed it 360 off the tee, you know, with the roll, and you've got a pitching wedge in your hand or you're hitting it from 180, you know, and you're 50 yards back and it's just, you know, You could pick extreme examples to justify your belief or lack thereof in analytics.
Sure.
Analytics. Yeah. Analytics in any sport can't be just the blanket, this is what you follow. There has to be some common sense approach to it. Like, you know, you and I have talked about over the years, Tony, if a coach, the stats will tell you that barring a handful of circumstances over the course of a season, if you don't punt and you go for it on fourth down, if it's like fourth and, let's say fourth and five or less every time, you're going to come out ahead. You may not come out ahead in that particular instance.
Right.
But in the big body, you're going to come out ahead percentage-wise. Right. You're going to end up scoring more points. You're going to sustain more drives. You're going to turn it over to the other team.
Oh, wouldn't it be fun if someone would be willing to do it once?
So fun.
Just for a whole year, they just said, anything below fourth and five, we're going.
But even that team, Tony, with 13 seconds left in the game,
yeah,
and it's fourth and three from their own 20-yard line, is punting the ball yeah, right? Like, so the,
You don't have to be unreasonable.
Don't be hard-headed about it. Easy for me to say. The most hard-headed guy you all know.
Yeah.
So we can all make extreme examples of why analytics work and why they don't work.
Mm-hmm.
But clearly the Jags are a team that believes in analytics. I mean, they embrace it, whether or not that has worked out for them. I don't think they've lost because of analytics. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think their evaluation process has been so rigid that, well, this guy, you know, the analytics say this guy playing outdoors on grass on blah, 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 in these conditions is going to produce X, and this is what we're drafting off of.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice little tiebreaker. Mm-hmm. It's a nice factor to consider. But anyway, Hometown Heroes podcast every Thursday with Dan and Denny, and this latest episode will be featuring David Duvall. So go check that out. I did enjoy the U.S. Open. Would have been I like it when the Americans win the U.S. Open, but Rom doesn't bother me, so that was fine.
Sure.
You know, not so much drama there the last couple of holes. I don't know if you watched it.
Heck
yesterday.
Of a month plus for him, man.
Really was. Kind of crazy, right?
Yeah.
And I'm sure there are a lot of people out there that somehow are seeing, see, this is the golf gods, or maybe it's just, I don't know, maybe it's a hot golfer.
Really good.
Man, he's played and won on this course before.
Right, yeah.
But nevertheless, those last two putts were money. A little
no
left to right breakers
that,
for birdie. And you wonder if he just doesn't make that one on the last hole. You thought he needed to have that one on the last hole.
Yeah.
Because you thought for sure somewhere, there's so many birdie opportunities coming down the stretch that Usti was going to get at least one more under par from where he was, but it went the other way.
Yeah, that birdie on 18 really put the pressure on him.
It really did, right? It really kind of turned the screws on him. And, man, you think back, and they said it enough, but I don't know if I would have been able to tell you with 100% certainty that Open that he won back in 2010 was the only win he had on the PGA Tour in his career.
Wow.
It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it's
right?
Nuts.
For a guy who's been long considered one of the better players, not the tip-top best.
He's on the leaderboard at majors all the time.
A lot.
Yeah.
And that just goes to show you, man, you gotta be able to finish the job. So anyway, it's a little foray into golf right there. But check out the Hometown Heroes podcast coming up this week. The Supreme Court, and this isn't a direct impact on the National Football League either, but they unanimously ruled, I guess this morning, that the NCAA violated antitrust laws when it limited the amount students could receive for a variety of things. Basically, like, if schools want to give athletes free laptops, pay for postgraduate internships, different things like that, provide these things, that it is against the law to bar the NCAA can't bar those on some amateurism rules. So, it's going to become, it seems like, the golden age of being a college athlete in terms of being compensated at least, right? I mean, there's always been under-the-table compensation. That may still exist, even on top of all this stuff, but now there's going to be compensation where you could take it and, you know, there probably always were some guys that were like, I'm not going to do that just because I don't want to get caught. A, it's the wrong thing to do.
Right.
I wasn't raised that way. Or if I get caught, it could bring my team down for whatever reason. Even if you're the guy in the next locker was taking a sack full of cash, you know?
Yeah, you wonder if in like 25 years or something like that, you could show a young man blue chips and then be like, what's the big deal?
Yeah, what's that all
why,
about?
Why does it matter if he bought his family a car? Who cares?
Yeah.
Like, they bought my family too.
Right. Like, what, my little sister was 7 and she got a car, man. She didn't even drive.
Right. Like,
it's a big deal.
She'll enjoy this in 10 years.
Yeah. I get it. It's an arms race and it becomes.
No doubt.
Who's got the biggest boosters? Hasn't it always been to some degree, the large degree? Who's got the most money behind their program? Who's got the best facilities?
Certainly doesn't hurt.
Right? I mean, isn't that what the Jags are trying to do in some degree? And I don't mean that in any kind of negative sense whatsoever. To make the organization as attractive as possible. What are some of the ways to do that? Give them facilities that are as attractive as possible, including a stadium upgrade plan. Now you see, you know, I'm kind of glad the Jags are out in front on that, you know, with the kind of the proposal or the timeline that they're talking about of redoing the stadium, and that they feel like the structure of the stadium is a sound one, because now you're seeing, oh, the Bears are looking to move. Mm-hmm. Build a new, brand new facility. The Bills are looking to do it. And what would have happened is the Jags would have been the last one, right, on the list kind of. And because the amount of teams that haven't had a major renovation is incredibly low to begin with.
Yep.
So either a major renovation or a brand new stadium. Now the Jags are at least you feel like they've started that process a little bit. They've got a little bit of a framework of a plan out here in terms of how to finance it.
Yeah.
And you feel like that's in today's NFL, you could sit there and say, oh, there's nothing wrong with this stadium from my point of view. But obviously, the NFL has their own level of playing field that they want everybody to reach because, you know, to them, they want to squeeze at the bottom line every dollar that they possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And the more attractive that facility is, the more amenities, the more high-priced seating that you can legitimately put on the table, the more that goes into the shared pool that ultimately makes everybody more money in the National Football League.
Yeah, and even when you or I were having the opportunity to travel and cover games on the road, we're still just doing press box, right? Like we're not doing it as fans. I'd be curious to talk to, you know, the BCB guys and the groups of Jaguars fans that make it a point to travel to 2 or 3 away games a year. How does Jacksonville Stadium experience compare, you know, to those others? Maybe not from a fan perspective, just, you know, being around your own people, but the stadium, the amenities, like those kind of things. How does Jacksonville compare to some of these other spots that they get a chance to go?
And even then, you know, unless, you know, like I would imagine the BCB, they're picking out a section of not nosebleeds, but not, you know, front row 50-yard line either, right? So part of it is like what you're choosing, what level you're choosing to get in on.
Sure.
On a game day experience. And, you know, the Jags are trying to make that more popular for the fans. They're trying to make their facilities as attractive as possible for players. It's no different to me than what colleges do with, okay, look at LSU. You go in there and everybody's got like their own like, mini like bed, like those things, you know, like in the locker room that like, you know, there's like a lounge chair, but like a plush cushioned kind of situation where, you know, you walk in and you feel like you're a rock star.
And turn the corner, here's the arcade, you know, like it's right. That kind of stuff.
Does that help you win games? No, but it does in the sense that it helps you attract players.
Yeah.
Should that be the most important thing? No. But if you're deciding and you're going, man, you know what? This coach sounds like he could get me to the National Football League. Sounds like we could win a lot of games. So does this one. So does this one.
And I could take a nap when I want.
But damn,
in
I can
my
have
locker.
This is the way I'm going to be treated when I'm there, right? On top
right,
of that,
yeah.
It may
you're
not
done
matter
with class
to everybody.
For the day. Don't want to go back to the dorm. Come to the locker room. Sleep in your cubby.
I would hope in the future a lot more people want to come to Jacksonville because they want to play with Trevor Lawrence and they realize what a good opportunity that
no
will
doubt.
Be for them
yeah.
to win football games. And ultimately, I think that will be the biggest attraction that the Jags have, whether Urban Meyer goes a lock and four route and he's out of here in 2 years or he stays here for 10. It's not going to be Urban Meyer. That's the most compelling reason to come here, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
That is assuming Trevor Lawrence lives up to the ridiculously high degree of hype that we've all placed upon him. But if he does, and you know, the early returns are encouraging, then that's going to be the Pied Piper. bringing them to town.
No doubt, yeah.
All right, we'll come back. We've got a question of the day out there that we asked you about, and it is basically if you could buy stock in three Jacksonville Jaguars today, which guy's stock do you think will rise the most? Give us three players that you think will increase the most in quote-unquote stock value from now until a year from now, and we'll discuss our candidates for that on the other side as well. With Tony Smith and ET, I'm Mike Dempsey. You're listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Everything you need to know about the Jags. Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
All right, ET shares with us a little video here. I guess SportsCenter put this out on Instagram. Tony, you were talking about last week, like fantasy football bets, you know, that you would have done, to not phrasing it very well. The guy lost the bet, had to sit in a Waffle House for 24 hours.
Yeah, that was a real punishment for that guy.
I mean, it didn't seem that terrible, and he had to eat every waffle he ate, took an hour off his punishment.
Yeah,
so
I think I saw Dilla ate like six waffles in 40 minutes over the weekend.
Yeah, bro.
I don't know how he's doing, you know, the day after. I don't know what the answer to that would be.
But
if you got through six in 40 minutes, you're cutting down your time in that restaurant pretty significantly, because odds are you're going to be able to get through at least 10.
Well, you're right. You're not going to keep up a six and 40
that
minute
kind
pace.
Of pace. No.
No, but and Waffle House waffles are pretty big.
They are, yeah.
They're pretty sizable, but still, like, this didn't seem like the guy was as offended to have to sit in a Waffle House as he was to have to eat some waffles.
Yeah. Maybe plan it up for the boys a little bit, too, I would imagine. Yeah.
Could have, you know, but whatever. I mean, like, you know, some of these penalties are so ridiculous. The whole wear a dress thing is so played out. Like,
yeah.
I still get a chuckle when they have to dress up, like, in a diaper with a oversized safety pin and go out somewhere in public for a while and talk about how bad they are in fantasy football. But he was just a guy who lost. What was the situation with this guy, this bodybuilder?
I'm not exactly sure what the situation was, but it made me think, like, he had to lose a bet.
He had
to
lose
that.
A bet, right? He's a bodybuilder. By the way, for a bodybuilder,
he looks small.
He don't look that big, man. I mean, like, come on, right? Like, if you told me he was like an NFL safety or something, like, I'd be like, okay, I could see that, but a bodybuilder. Anyway, he must have lost a bet because his punishment was to take 1,000 paintballs. It looked like from just multiple rapid-fire guns. Are you watching the video right now?
Ooh.
I mean, he just gets slaughtered by these shirtless, by the way. But he was allowed to cover up. So he crossed his arms, tucked his head into his arms, and he turned himself into a little ball as small as possible. But that was after he had already gotten pelted pretty good.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, when he gets to that point, he's wishing he probably had the full helmet so that he wasn't getting shot on top of his head.
Right. He had just, like, the face mask, and so that protected his face, but he was getting, I mean, like, imagine just getting a small stone thrown into your head at a pretty high velocity over and over and over again.
Yeah,
and
that's,
so,
that's
I mean,
no fun.
Line me up with some waffles, man. Seriously, I don't even like syrup, but I would even eat them with syrup.
I'd like to know what he looked like an hour later. Like, even after he was able to wash all that off.
He got
to, like,
be whipped up.
Oof.
Oh, my gosh. He's destroyed.
And what it felt like to try to sleep that night.
I mean,
night.
He was barely breathing, it looked like, when it was done. When you in this video, he was just, like, lying as still as possible on the ground.
All those shots of the shoulder, his neck, his head. Like,
everything.
Trying to go to bed that night would be miserable.
Ooh. Anyway, E.T. might retweet that out there. That was on SportsCenter's Instagram account. Bodybuilder versus 1,000 paintballs. We're always on the lookout for
cool stuff
like that. Yeah. Cool stuff. The cool stuff that doesn't involve me personally taking any of that pain. All right, E, why don't we fire up a little 10-10 take while you're in there?
10-10. This 10-10 take is brought to you by Peninsular Pest Control at CritterGetter.com.
All right, and we will discuss today's question of the day in the form of the 10-10 take. If you could buy stock in any three Jaguars players right now, which three do you think will have the greatest increase in value between now and this time next year? I mentioned Walker a little earlier, and I just do. I think he will have maybe the highest gain. I mean, look, I expect Trevor Lawrence to be looked at as an established, who knows, maybe top 10 quarterback, right? I mean, where's Herbert right now? Would you say he's the top 10 quarterback?
Close to it, yeah.
If he's not,
yeah,
he's
close.
Very close. Yeah. And in terms of quarterbacks to start a franchise with, he would definitely be top 10. Like, like you got a guy like Tom Brady who you may say, okay, I'll take Tom Brady over Justin Herbert. Okay, but if you're starting a franchise today with nothing else but that guy, now you might argue that Brady's going to attract the better players and one championship is worth more than the 10 years of potential. Okay, but you get the idea, right? So let's kind of go around the table and throw some names out there. I'll start with Walker Little. I think we'd all agree he's a guy that maybe wins a starting job this year, but I think by this time next year is looked at as the anticipated opening day starter, likely at the left tackle position for the Jaguars. Based on everything we've heard, the investment they made in him, they invest in a guy who's played just a smattering of plays in the last 2 years. And everyone up to and including George Warhop, the offensive line coach, absolutely raving about how he looks out there, how he moves. So I'll put him at the top of the list. Who you got else?
I'll go Andre Sisco,
okay,
the rookie safety. I don't know at what point this year it'll happen, but I think he'll wind up being one of the starting safeties for this team. And if his production from college translates to the NFL and he's that kind of ball hawk at this level, then yeah, his stock will go through the roof.
He's one guy, though, that I don't – because of the injury and when it happened – I think I don't think it's going to be as clear cut with him necessarily. Maybe he takes a spot at some point this year. I'm not 100% convinced because we have heard a lot of good stuff about a lot of these safeties. Daniel Thomas, for instance, making plays out there, right? And so maybe they kind of hold Sisco off for a year and that he'll be a little bit more of an unknown quantity, but I think he certainly is in the conversation. E, who you got?
Laviska Shenault.
How did I absolutely know that you were going with Laviska Shenault? Not that it's a bad selection, but tell us why you think his stock will be so much higher in 12 months from now.
Well, I mean, he has a better team. He has a quarterback, you know, and he's a playmaker. He feels healthy. It's set for him.
And everything you hear is that he's looked really, really good.
Well, I think on top of that, too, we're talking about next offseason. I think there's potential for the Jaguars making the decision not to re-sign DJ Chark. And for Laviska Shenault, if he has the kind of season it sounds like he could be on the brink of having, then he might be stepping into an even larger role going into 2022 than he has going into 2021.
Stocks fluctuate, right? Yeah. So I'm going to go with Josh Allen here, who I think right now is like, we're still hoping for that rebound, but that's what we're hoping for, right? He's still got that stock price. You could get him at less than his actual value in you know, in that sense, in my opinion, right now. So where he was, imagine where we were talking about him last year, right? And that stock's a lot to do with public opinion and perception of the value. So, and take it from me who doesn't invest in the stock market, right? Like, I'm going to preach to you what stocks are about. But, you know, like Josh Allen, where we talked about him last year, well, at least we know one thing. We know Josh Allen's going to be wreaking some havoc out there this season. And it didn't really come to pass. So I think Josh Allen, with better players up front, creating a little bit more havoc, playing with leads in the second half of games, I think he can get back to that rookie form, maybe even surpass it. Let's say he has a 12-sack season. Then you're expecting a big springboard into kind of perennial Pro Bowl status. So I'm going to say he's going to take a big step up in value.
On the prospect of a boom, Kalyvon Chaisson.
Okay.
Like, I don't know how much I actually believe it, but I think at the price that you'd probably have to buy him at now.
Penny stock, right?
Yeah, considering that he's going to get the opportunity to be the starting strong side linebacker, be put in a whole lot more comfortable positions as a pass rusher, you would think, this season going into year two as opposed to year one with a real offseason under his belt as well. Yeah, I think making a bet on a guy like Kalyvon Chaisson in this kind of discussion makes sense.
ET gives one more.
Malcolm Brown, like, for what we got him for, he has the potential to be like Calais. I hope he would be like Calais, you know, just that centerpiece in the middle. And, you know, he's not that big of a name, but he's going to play a big role in this defense.
I think he will, too. I think it's going to be more difficult, though, for his stock value to rise just because he's probably not going to be in position to put up the kind of stats like a Calais Campbell would, you know, especially playing
sacks.
Yeah, in a 3-4 look, I mean, most of the time he's going to be asked just take on two offensive linemen and let somebody else play. That doesn't mean his value
Which
won't go
important.
Up.
Right.
But that public perception of what he means to the team, he's still going to be down the list, I think, of guys that you say are the key players on this football team.
Yeah. If I had to pick one more, I think you all know who I'd take.
Manhurts. Had to be. Your guy. Well, look, Manhurts right now, every pass he catches, probably –
Hey man.
One more than we expected.
That's 1/12 of what he's had in his career to this point.
Here's some of the responses we got to today's question of the day. I'll read the names. I'll try not to repeat all the repeat names. Starting with Chris here, Chaseon, LaVisca, and Walker Little. Ogrizzi said Laquan Treadwell with Little and Cisco. JagFan15, ETN, Lawrence, and Tyler Davis is his long shot. Penny Stock. CJ Henderson, more from Little and Chaseon. Chark. Chenault, let's see, Lawrence Little, who else? Tyson Campbell. Dylan Moses got several mentions here. I mean, basically, Dylan Moses is as penny a stock as there is, right? Undrafted free agent who had a good profile in the past, though. But right now, if you ask the average NFL fan, where is Dylan Moses playing in the National, what roster is he on? They'd have no idea.
No idea.
No idea where he was. And this was a guy that you would have seen in mock drafts in the first round.
Yeah.
Throughout the course of his college career, and injuries obviously derailed him. Lambeau, more for Allen. And look, Lawrence, by the way, could be that guy, and it depends on how you look at it. You know, the actual price, again, we use the example, if he's $100 and goes to $150, that's a $50 increase. Or if he goes to $110, it's a $10 increase, but it's only a 10% increase. Whereas a dollar guy might go to $2, and he doubles his value, but it's not as big of an increase to your bottom line. Tim Tebow, that's the kind of guy we're talking, right? You go from might not make the team to who knows what he might be in a year. Colin Johnson, Devon Hamilton getting some love, more for Josh Allen there. James Robinson, wow. He's got a depressed value right now, but, man, I think it'd be hard for him to be one of the leading guys. A lot of votes for O'Shaughnessy. Tefele got several mentions here. Marvin Jones. Getting a lot of mentions. I don't, boy. Somebody said, can I short Taven Bryan? I know his value is already low, but pretty sure he'll be kicked off the exchange soon. I don't know how that whole thing works exactly, but.
Gonna bet against Taven. That's,
I guess, right? Like, I suppose that's that, you know. So far, you would have been justified and your returns would have been good. So, anyway, a lot of different names. I think I hit Miles Jack. Wow, that'd be a tough one to increase that level of value. DJ Chark as well. Look, you were just saying, maybe they don't re-sign DJ Chark. Then again, maybe DJ Chark goes for 1,350 yards and 12 touchdowns this year.
Yeah.
Definitely within the realm of possibility. All right, let's say hello to XL Primetime.
Now, the 2-minute drill brought to you by Tire Outlet. Keeping 1010XL rolling with wholesale prices and premium service. Tire Outlet, Jacksonville's largest locally owned automotive repair shop.
All right, Joe Coward is here for XL Primetime. What's up, Joe?
What is up, fellas?
Not a whole lot. We're just talking about Jaguar players who stock, like if you could buy stock at three guys right now and then hold them for 12 months. Give us one or two guys you think the stock will increase the greatest.
See, I'm kind of like iffy on Walker Little because you may not see him a whole hell of a lot for his stock to go up. It's kind of like my Dogecoin right now. I bought it at 30. It's probably down to 15 right now. It's just crap. So I don't know how much stock his how much he will go up. ETN, I think, could go up considerably depending on what he's able to do. Josh Allen, if he has a nice comeback, because I would at least consider his stock as – has dipped, you know, compared to what it was after his rookie year.
So no, he'd be I went with that. I think Walker Little, though, even if he doesn't play this year, I think there's a greater than 50% chance that we're talking about him next year as he is the anticipated opening day starter.
Sure. So that makes sense. That does make sense.
Which, and who knows, maybe it happens even sooner. I mean, very few guys got as much universal praise as he did, I thought, in the offseason process.
Yeah, because you have drafted what you think is a starter at a very important position. Not immediately, but at a very important position, especially because you're protecting the most valuable piece of your franchise, which is Trevor.
No doubt. What do you guys have coming up?
Talking a little bit coming out of the mini camp and everything as far as the Jags offseason is concerned, but the U.S. Open with Jon Rahm, the way he put together that birdie finish. So we'll go out to San Diego with our man. We'll go up to Atlanta, the Hawks, knocking the Sixers out. Ben Simmons didn't even take a shot in the fourth quarter of that game.
So he took three shots in the fourth quarter of the series. Yeah. That's...
So we'll go up there, talk a little NBA and this Supreme Court ruling in the college world against the NCAA. That's big news right there. So we'll definitely get into that.
All right, Joe C., thank you, man.
All right, man.
XL Primetime coming up with Hacker, Matt Hayes, and Big Sirce, as well as Joe C., Tony
Can't
Smith,
wait.
And E.T. Thank you for easing me back into things here.
Welcome back. Yeah.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. All right. Tomorrow, you may have seen me tweet out over the last few days. Stephen Van Order is a Jaguar fan in town who I was able to do a little memorabilia swapping with. And came across a bunch of cool Coca-Cola and Pepsi bottles. Most of the stuff is Jaguar-related commemorative stuff from the 1990s. And, look, I don't have this massive collection of memorabilia that I'm looking to build on. I'm looking to get these in the hands of Jaguar fans out there. So we'll tell you what we've got. And he's getting ready to retire soon and downsize. So, you know, he's trying to pay it forward and pass it along to some people who will appreciate
nice.
That. And
yeah.
We certainly appreciate him doing that and letting us have the opportunity to redistribute some of the goodies out there.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Yeah, pretty cool stuff. Are you guys up for a 28-year-old taste test, by the way?
Hey, I'm down.
Are you?
I got the water. Get rid of it quickly.
To wash it down,
yeah.
Kind of. It's either that or 9 waffles, Tony.
Take the water and the bad Coke.
Yeah. I wonder how many waffles I could down in a 2-hour show. I think I could put 9 away in
Waffle House waffles, though.
Yeah, they got to be right. They're big. They are big. I mean, Eggos. I'd do 2 boxes of Eggos. No problem. But they're small, man.
Yeah.
But, I'm kind of ready to take on an eating challenge. I don't know why. I just feel that way right now. All right, that'll do it for us today. Thanks for welcoming me back. For Tony Smith and for ET, I'm Mike Dempsey. We'll be back at it again tomorrow talking Jaguar football with you right here on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Joe Jacksonville.
Who want to eat a W?
True.